Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to have you along with us here as we continue studying God's Word simply by reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed. Honored to be the host of this program. Also be honored to be the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ. If you want to study any of these lessons again in its entirety or listen to this one and share it with a friend, you can find them anytime online on my website, readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net, and you'll click on where it says the radio programs, and you can find all of them. This is number 95. Go with me to the book of Acts, if you will. I've been doing a study there at church in the book of Acts. Came across this in study, made it its own little lesson, wanted to share it with you today. Acts chapter 5. Now, the book of Acts is the history of the Lord's church. The church began in the second chapter. In the first chapter is the ascension of Christ. If you look at the ABCs of Acts, where each chapter corresponds with that letter of the alphabet. So the first letter of the alphabet is A, which means chapter 1 is the ascension of Christ. Chapter 2, letter B, the beginning of the church. Chapter 3, the letter C, a crippled cured. Chapter 4 is the letter D, that's determined disciples. Then we get to Acts chapter 5, the early works of the church, or early Acts, if you will. And we see here the chapter begins with a husband and wife. We'll just sum up the first 12 or 14 verses or so. A husband and wife, they decided, Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias means Jehovah hath been gracious. Sapphira is an Aramaic word which means beautiful. They were Christians, and they decided they were going to sell all their possessions and give them to the Lord. Now, they had done that in the fourth chapter, and a certain man named Barnabas is one of those who will be a great encourager as the New Testament story continues. But a lot of the early Christians, not commanded, they just did it to help the church. They sold what they had and gave it to the church. Well, Ananias and Sapphira did the same thing, except their problem was they lied. The Bible says that they kept back a portion. They held back all of it. And then Ananias went to Peter and says, "Here you go, Peter." And Peter says, "Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost to keep back part of the price of the land?" Verse 3. Now, the problem was not that they kept back part of the price. It was a free will offering, right? The problem was they lied about the amount they had given. If they'd said, "We sold the land for $100,000 and we're going to give $75,000 of it," or whatever the case may have been, there would have been nothing wrong. But instead they said, "Well, we really just sold it for this," when they actually sold it for more. Peter questioned him in verse 4, said, "While it remained, was it not your own? After it sold, was it not in your power? Why have you conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." Once you notice here, verse 3 says you've lied to the Holy Ghost. Verse 4 says you've lied unto God. Dear friends, that's one and the same person. Two members of the Godhead, Jesus the Christ being the third. So Ananias heard these words, and he died. They buried him. And about 3 hours later, his wife, Ananias, Sapphira, came in, not knowing what had happened to her husband, Ananias. She said the same thing. She agreed that we had sold it for this much, and then she lost her life. And look at verse 11. "Great fear came upon all the church, for as many as heard these things." But this fear works. See, this fear helped the church spread, because in verse 14, the Bible says believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and of women. First time we read of women being converted. Now, no doubt there were women converted on the day of Pentecost in chapter 3, where the number jumps from 3,000 to 5,000. But here's the first time we see 5,000, or both men and women. Now, Peter and the apostles, sick people were brought to them, and they healed them. Notice verse 17 in the book of Acts chapter 5, if you will. "Then the high priest rose up, all that were with him, the sect of the Sadducees." They say there is no resurrection, by the way. "They were filled with indignation," or literally envy. "Laid their hands on the apostles, put them in the common prison." This would just been a holding cell, if you will, because it was night. They would have tried to do due process the next day. "But the angel of the Lord," verse 19, "by night, he opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, 'Go, stand and speak in the temple all the words of this life.'" Dear friends, our topic of study before us today, and that serves, I believe, as a great way of introduction. I've titled it Commands from an Angel. Now, angel just simply means messenger. When we evangelize, E-V-A-N-G-E-L-I-S-M, the word angel is in the word evangelism. We carry forth a message. What was this message from the Lord? There are three commands that this angel told the apostles, and that's what we're going to study when we come back from our break. I believe they will be of utmost importance to us as we try to live a faithful Christian life. Pause here just a second. Brother Dearman's going to invite you to services at the Arlington Church of Christ, and we'll be back on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Dear friends, thank you for joining us here as well. We're going to continue reading the Word. We've just read Acts chapter 5 and verse 20 to begin a lesson titled Commands from an Angel. And the angel, as he freed the apostles, gave them three specific commands which we could follow today. You ready for this? Number one, the angel says, go. You see, the apostles, they were in a holding cell. The Bible calls it an inner prison. They were arrested at night. The courts wouldn't have been in session at night, so they were placed in a holding cell until the courts could convene in the morning. But at night, this angel frees them. And so the angel says, go. I want you to notice what Jesus Christ says. Flip back with me to what we often call the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Notice the first word. Matthew 28:19, go. What does Jesus say? Go ye therefore and teach or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world or even the end of the age. Then Matthew adds, amen. On that, what was the angel's command for the apostles? They were to go. They were not to stay in that prison where they're at. Dear friends, a command for us today, we are to go as well. When Jesus Christ says, go ye, there's a book in my library simply titled, Go Ye Means Go Me. And if you've read the title or you've read the book, you know the crux of the matter, if you will. Go with me to the 8th chapter of Acts. Three passages I want us to look at here. Saul has been persecuting the church. We see that in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. He was consenting unto the death of Stephen, which occurs in the 7th chapter. In fact, we're introduced to Saul at the end of the 7th chapter. He holds the coats for the men who stoned Stephen. And at that time, verse 1, Acts chapter 8, there arose a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except for the apostles. The apostles remained behind. We see everybody else, these faithful Christians, they went. They had to get up and go. And so they went. Verse 4, they that were scattered abroad, they went everywhere and they were preaching the word. I love this passage because they were facing great persecution, great times of uncertainty, and instead of curling up in a ball in a fetal position with their hands their head between their hands and saying, oh, woe is me, they said, we've got to get out of Dodge. But every city they stopped in along the way, they preached. How do I know? Look at verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. What does it mean when you preach Christ? Verse 14. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So when you preach Christ, you preach things concerning the kingdom and the name of God, and it results in people being obedient in baptism. Go with me down to verse 30. After Philip leaves there, he is joined with a man, a nobleman from Ethiopia, a eunuch, the Bible says. And Philip, verse 30, Acts 8, ran thither to him, heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you read? He said, how can I except someone explain it to me? So Philip began at that scripture, verse 35, and preached unto him Jesus. See, when the apostles were freed in Acts chapter 5 from prison, the first thing the angel told them to do, they must go. Dear friends, we're under the same directive today. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. The second thing the angel told those that were in prison, he says, go, stand. They were to stand. They were to go out, not only just sit down. Stand is an active verb. It's not a passive. It's not sit by. It's stand and stand strong. Dear Christian friend, we're under the same directive today, are we not? Notice here in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 11, where Paul, by inspiration, writing to the church at Ephesus, says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to watch it stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, as he begins describing the armor that the Christian wears, having your loins girt about with truth, and the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, you have the shield of faith, able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. You must have that helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, coupling that all with prayer. Dear friends, one of my favorite songs in the hymnal we sing, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. We must stand firm in our conviction, in our command to preach the gospel. Dear friends, when the angel freed the apostles in Acts chapter 5 and verse 20, he said, go. He said, stand. But finally, where we spend the rest of our time, he says, and speak unto them the words of life. Your three commands are go, stand, and speak. Notice what Paul writes to the young, or excuse me, to the preacher Titus, excuse me, in Titus chapter 2, in verse 1. He says, but speak. But's a conjunction, joins two thoughts. This was originally one long letter. That chapter and verse breaks come much later to help us better understand things. So he says, people profess to know God in chapter 1. But in works they deny him, they're abominable, disobedient, unto every good work they're reprobate. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, charity, patience. Talks about the aged women as well. Verse 4, they may teach the young women. The older are to teach the younger. But what are you supposed to do, Titus? You're supposed to speak the things that become sound doctrine. Dear friends, that gives me a charge as a Christian and as a preacher to go out and only preach, thus saith the Lord, preaching the cross and Christ crucified, not giving my opinion, not giving my, here's how I would do it, but instead doing what God has commanded. You know, another song we sing is wonderful words, beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Only found in Scripture do we find the wonderful words of life. When an angel freed the apostles in Acts chapter 5, verse 20, dear friends, told them three things to do. He said, you must go, you must stand, and you must speak the words of eternal life. Dear friends, when these apostles were freed, they were not freed to go and hide. They were not free to go take refuge, but they were free to fulfill their purpose to preach and teach the risen Savior. Dear friends, we have been freed from sin, and we must do the same. We must go, we must stand, and we must speak. To do anything less is to fail in our commandment as a Christian, dear friends. And I hope this lesson has encouraged you as much as it has encouraged me to work it up and present it to you. If you'd like to study this again in your own time, comfort of your own home, share it with somebody else, you can anytime online. My website's readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, that's readingtheword.net. Click on the radio programs, and this is titled Commands from an Angel. Dear friends, I hope we can study together again next week at the same time. I pray you have a faithful week between now and then. Hope you can come visit us at Arlington if your schedule presents itself. May the good Lord bless you and may He keep you. Please continue to pray. Thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.